Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. The Saints didn't play this week, but we got a show for you anyway. So as always, we are sponsored by JLD Hot Sauce and Knives. Guys, they have the best hot sauce, okay? Their award-winning hot sauce, Boot Jolica, comes in hot, extra hot, and Thai flavors. They also have the Reaper Madness Special Reserve made with Reaper Pepper from Carolina. And for the brave, you can get the Death Shot. It has the extract of 10 Reaper chilies in each 1 ounce bottle. JLD also has the highest quality handmade knives you'll find anywhere, including ones for hunting, fishing, and cooking. Go to jldsharpsauce.com and use the code SAINTS. Get 10% off your order today. That's jldsharpsauce.com. All right, so the Saints didn't play this week, but Dave, they had a pretty good day fucking yesterday. Carolina lost. Tampa lost. They fired Mike Smith. The Bears lost to the Dolphins. My wife was super excited.
My wife.
It worked out pretty well.
Well, yeah, we were actually hoping for...
That's a little delayed.
Yeah, good timing on that one. At my house, we were actually hoping for a Tampa Bay-Atlanta tie, which looked like it could actually happen.
If Atlanta would have lost that game yesterday on that play that Tampa tried, where they had Jameis run and do laterals that almost worked, if they'd have lost like that, oh my God. But continue, Dave.
Well, I was saying that we were hoping for the tie, and it was close because it almost went to overtime, but they missed that two-point. The Buccaneers didn't get that two-point conversion they needed to tie. So, yeah, it was a good weekend. Got some stuff done around the house. watched the LSU game. Tulane had a bye this weekend, too, so there was – zero football. None of my teams were playing at all this weekend.
That was an epic LSU game.
Yeah, that LSU game. That was a good one to watch.
Best win for LSU in like 7 years, probably.
Yeah, well, they're still going to lose to Alabama, but whatever.
my touchdowns.
Honestly, things really couldn't have gone better for the Saints as far as the standings in the NFC South are concerned. Tampa Bay losing, you know, unfortunately, of course, the Falcons had to win, but that does just kind of spread the wins out among all the other teams in the NFC South. So good for the Saints. You know what I didn't know? There were like, before this weekend's games, there were only like three teams in the NFC with a winning record, and the Saints were one of them.
Yeah, what do you got? You got the Saints. You got Chicago.
Well, no, now you do. But prior to this weekend's games, I think it was just the Saints, the Vikings, and
the Rams.
And the Rams were the only teams prior to this weekend, I think, that had winning records. But now you have those three teams, and then you've got the Bears, like you said.
And Green Bay will win tonight probably and have a winning
record. I don't know about that. What's the score? They're losing 24-20 right now, and Bethard looks pretty damn good.
Yeah, my only complaint with Bethard is that he's not throwing the ball enough to Kittle.
So, Andrew, I checked the Twitters, and the Saints, from what I gathered, have not traded for Patrick Peterson, which we discussed on the Patrons Only podcast today. If you pay a dollar, you could have listened to it. You still can.
That'll happen. That trade will happen after we upload this podcast.
But let's get into it, because Arizona, the coach shot it down after the game. He's like, that's ridiculous. But let's get into it. If the Saints get
where did these rumors come from what's the rumor that he wants to be traded?
No, the team is Arizona willing to trade him? Listen is the rumor. It's from Jason Lockenfora, so it's not really fact. It's almost just like I made it up if it comes from Lockenfora.
Isn't Lockenfora the same guy that said that Kenny Vaccaro and Kikaha were on the trade market? Were on the trading block last year?
Yeah, he did.
And neither of them got traded.
Yeah. But I feel like
NFL teams throw him that bone when they have no intention of trading a player. Like, I feel like he's the guy if they're like, hey, we really don't want to trade this guy, but we want to motivate him into thinking he might get traded so he'll play better. And so then they leak that to Lockenfora because he's like, you know, the lower level reporter. Where like he gets to break stuff where it's never going to happen, but it's just used as an incentive on the player.
You can see like a coach comes in, an assistant coach comes into the office, like, I can't get this guy to play worth a shit. And the head coach is like, we got to motivate him. Get Lockenfora on speakerphone. And then it's like this.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
And see, I want to believe that Peterson is on the trade block. But here's the thing. In a hypothetical world, Dave, let's start out with this. If you were the Saints and Arizona says, I will trade you Patrick Peterson, but I want your second round pick for this year, and I want your fourth round pick this year, or I want your fourth round pick in 2020, would you, Dave Cariello, make the deal?
He's speechless.
He's speechless.
No, I'm not speechless. Say that again. You were breaking up earlier. What are they gonna want?
They're
gonna
give up their second round pick and their fourth round pick. If you're Loomis, would you do that?
So we're giving up our second round pick next year, which means we don't have any picks in the first three rounds next year.
That is correct.
Well, it would be first four rounds.
And the 2019 fourth round.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, that's steep. Like, even honestly, if you were like, only because like you gotta have something in this first four rounds. I mean, if we were talking about, if you were talking about giving away the second round pick next year, and the fourth round pick like 2020 maybe, I'd honestly say hell yeah.
Why are you claiming, like, what, like, I mean, what does
Mike,
that
Mike Ditka gave away a whole draft class for Ricky Williams.
What does the fourth round pick do for you, Dave? Like, what is that? What is it, like, the one fourth round pick in 2019? Like, what does that get you? Like, why are you clinging to that like a binky?
I don't know. I mean, like, you could always trade up from that spot, you know, and trade away that pick plus something else from the following year or later in that year's draft or whatever to maybe move into like the third round or something, and get at least one person of worth in the draft.
Are you afraid to totally just not give a shit about the 2019 draft? Does that scare you to just like give a fuck?
I'm already. It doesn't scare me to not.
Aren't we already there?
We kind of are.
It doesn't scare me to not give a fuck, but it scares me that doing something like that could potentially, you know, you could set a team back for a couple of years if you don't have a decent amount of influx of youth and that kind of stuff. I mean, obviously you've got undrafted free agency and all that kind of stuff, but I would have Patrick Peterson on this roster right now. That would solidify the defense. And obviously the Saints offense is working well. It's firing on all cylinders.
All right. It's a second and a fourth. You doing it or not?
Yeah. Why not? When not?
No. Here's the thing, and this is from Sean, who is a patron and donates $3.28, and he will get a magnet after he donates for 7 months, just like anyone else. But he had a great tweet, and I told this to Andrew on the Patrons Only podcast this morning. He said, look, I am for the Saints trading for Patrick Peterson because, one, it clears up my schedule in the spring because I don't have to give a shit about the 2019 draft. Two, it makes 2018 season more fun. And three, you can blame any future Saints failure on the fact that they didn't have any picks in 2019. So there's really no downside to it at all.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. It's not going to be very much fun if Patrick Peterson comes to the Saints and then gets injured and then he's done for the year.
Isn't that the same risk with a rookie?
Yeah.
You're not giving up two. You know, you're not giving up a second round and a fourth round.
You gave up two number ones for Davenport. I mean, it's kind of the same. I mean, here's the thing with Davenport, though, Andrew. I mean, not Davenport, Patrick Peterson. One, I'm for it because I think if the Saints traded for him on like a Wednesday afternoon, like the special podcast we would do, people would just donate at the wazoo. So personally and financially for the show, we would be able to do all kinds of cool things. So I would be super excited, but that's my selfishness. But on the field, like Peterson and Lattimore and that pass rush they had Monday night, holy shit. That defense can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I still feel like, you know, our dreams of the YOLO offseason and system corner, like, yeah, I'm not going to say we were robbed, but we never got the full YOLO. And
yeah,
we never got
the
full...
We got to come up with a new t-shirt. We can't do system corner for Patrick Peterson because he ain't
no
system corner.
No. He's not a system guy. But, no. We'll come
YOLO corner, I guess? We could do hashtag YOLO corner.
Yeah. I want to see it happen because, you know, look, how many more years do they have Drew Brees? Like, if the door is wide open for
them,
got
about 10 more years of Brees. So, I mean,
it's true.
Having this conversation over and over again, 2021, how many more years?
Yeah. If you had donated a dollar though, you'd already know how I feel about Patrick Peterson and the Saints because I talked about it at length on our Patreon podcast.
What time did you guys record that podcast?
This afternoon.
No, we did it in the morning, I think, like 10:30.
Yeah.
Are you not at work? Are either of you guys not at work at 10 o'clock in the morning?
No, I am.
We are, but we record it, Dave. It's just a phone call that we have between each other. We just record it and flip it and post as is. It isn't like we add the great production volume of this podcast with fancy sound effects.
It's only 10 minutes long.
You know, we can't do that or we can't do this. You know, so it's like, it's, you know, I mean, we don't have Oscar winning production values like we have.
I think at this point, like, you have to find a reason to mention Anzalone just so you can play that.
I do.
Every week.
I don't even need a reason. But
Ralph, can you name a Saints linebacker with long flowing blonde hair?
I can. So,
this is culturally insensitive.
It is. That's why the people come to this show, Dave.
Great.
Insensitivity. Great. We are not politically correct. But here's my question, Dave. Do you think the Patrick Peterson, obviously it's fantasy land and it's fun and it generates clicks, and this headline for this podcast is going to get me clicks out of the wazoo and I will make an extra $1.50 from mybookie.com. But if the Saints can't get Patrick Peterson, trade deadline for the NFL, October 31st, right? So do you think the Saints will do a move for a corner even if it's not Patrick Peterson?
Unmute yourself.
Unmute yourself.
Giving up a second and a fourth for somebody?
No, just anything. I mean, anything. They could swing a deal. They could trade Craig Robertson, like Barnwell said, to the Steelers for a corner that I've never heard of. I mean, anything.
I guess it would depend on who and what you'd have to give up. But, I mean, yeah, I still think that this team can win the Super Bowl, even with the current defense that they have. I think getting another quality cornerback just, you know, really elevates that chance, obviously, and potentially takes the defense to just a whole nother level, like you just said, Ralph, that we have never even really seen before. But Patrick Peterson is, you know, on a much higher level as far as cornerbacks are concerned. And especially, obviously, being an LSU guy and coming back to Louisiana, that makes it doubly enticing. But
it could be the greatest trade in Saints history. As far as excitement, it would melt Saints Twitter.
I mean, I wanted to see them go after Honey Badger.
But, I mean, Andrew, it would make the Jimmy Graham look like the Jimmy Graham trade look like swapping seventh round picks. And the Jimmy Graham trade was fucking bananas.
Well, the Jimmy Graham trade was bananas, but it was kind of disappointing. I mean, a lot of us were sad about that.
Yeah.
I would say the Saints' best trade ever, in hindsight, was Vilma. I mean, we liked it at the time, but that ended up being, you know, a game changer. So, I really think getting Peterson could have a Vilma-like impact.
Well, I mean,
at least for a couple of years.
They have – look, John Gruden is Ditka with the Saints 2.0. He's horrible. He traded Mac. He's blowing that roster up. They're offering Amari Cooper, which the Saints don't need a receiver, obviously. But they drafted Garrett Conley last year in the first, and he was benched. He might have even been inactive against Seattle. He was a highly rated corner. I mean, I know him and Sean Payton are buds, so maybe that factors into Sean Payton not liking him. But, I mean, if you could get him, Andrew, for like a fifth, sixth, or seventh or something, if the Raiders are really fire sailing him, is he a guy you say, bring him in and take a look?
No doubt. No doubt.
But is he like Stanley Jean Baptiste bad? I don't know, because I don't watch the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't either.
So, Dave, Saints had a bye week, and they're right on the line, because the Saints statistics say that if Drew Brees has a defense with him that is 24th or better in yards given up, he's made the playoffs every year. Right now, the Saints sit at 23. So my
first of all, you're talking about rankings, so you're talking about average yards a game.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's misleading, because if you took out the first two games of the season, I mean, obviously, this is a different defense we've seen over the last 3-4 weeks than those first 2 weeks. And if you took out those first two weeks of the season,
if you take out either Atlanta or Tampa, they're like 16th.
Yeah,
you take out whatever game you want, Atlanta or Tampa, and it slots them right at 16 for points.
But if you took out, you know, the Tampa and Cleveland the first two games. No, if you took out Tampa and Cleveland, those are the two games in my mind that was the preseason Saints. You know, that's what I'll call them. I'm serious. That was the preseason Saints, and it wasn't even though they were lucky to get the win against Cleveland.
Yeah, but they played well defensively against Cleveland.
Yeah, but that was still – it should not have been – I mean, I know Cleveland is obviously better looking like they're going to be better than people thought, but that's because Baker Mayfield came in. We weren't even playing against
yesterday. They looked like horseshit yesterday. As a person who lost money on them, I was dumb. That was dumb of me to bet on Cleveland. I deserve what I got, but still.
So, you know, I think – anyway, so we only have five games as a sample size, and that's still – that's as far as average is concerned, that's too small of a sample size, because, you know, any one game, you know, take away or remove is going to greatly affect that average. So I think that they're all that to say is I think that they're better than a 23rd ranked, and I don't think that ranking is accurate.
Well, I forgot. It may the 24 ring. It may be DVOA, which is advanced. It may not just be yards, but Andrew, I guess my point is, right now, as they're constituted, they're like right on the line of good enough to get in Drew Brees in the playoffs. I guess as we come off the bye, what's your sort of realistic expectation of what they're capable of being for 2018?
Well, I think it's realistic that the Saints can win the Super Bowl. I mean, no, seriously.
The defense in general, like, how good can it be? How good can it be?
I just think anytime they face off against the Vikings, where, you know, you're facing Diggs and Thielen, you know, PJ Williams and Crawley are going to be a liability. So I just think they're going to get in games matchup wise, and you're seeing more and more teams like this. I'm a little nervous about the Ravens. I think this is a bad matchup for the Saints because the Ravens are the number one defense in the league. They have a very balanced pass rush. A lot of times I think Sean Payton does well scheming when a team has like one good pass rusher. Like, you remember when they played Vic Beasley a couple times last year, or Khalil Mack and the Raiders a couple years ago, or trying to think of some other teams, or Von Miller. Like, none of those guys really did much against the Saints. I think when a team is like has one superstar pass rusher, generally Sean Payton comes up with a good plan to slow them down. When you have a team that has a balanced defensive line that can really hurt you from multiple different spots, and that's what the Ravens are, in my opinion. I think they don't have like one. I mean, Terrell Suggs, I guess, he's still doing it. He's got like 4.5 sacks this year, but in general, I don't think it's Suggs so much as just that whole defensive line is really strong and balanced. So that concerns me. And then you look at what they do offensively pretty well. They don't run the ball at all. I mean, their run game is awful. And the Saints are number one against the run somehow. So I don't think the Ravens are going to be able to run the ball much. But what they have done successfully is spread the ball around. They've got three new receivers, Crabtree, Willie Snead, and John Brown. And that trio of receivers has worked really well for them. John Brown is the very explosive, big play guy. I'm very nervous about PJ Williams trying to go up against him in the slot. You know, Snead has done a good job kind of moving the chains. And Crabtree, I'm sure that'll be Lattimore's responsibility. So I think Snead is probably going to get matched up against PJ and Crawley a good bit. And this is going to be a revenge game for him.
Well, we'll see. We'll do predictions at the end of the show. But Willie Snead looked like old Willie Snead. He had that quickness back. I don't know if he was thinner or whatever. He looked healthy. He looked like old Willie Snead for the Saints, catching third down passes and saving Joe Flacco's ass.
Just FYI, right now, the Saints, as far as average yards a game on defense, the Saints are ranked 19th, so they've given up. So they're kind of in the middle as far as middle of the pack as far as yards per game.
That's pretty good considering how the first three games went.
Yeah.
So far they're at let me see how many yards a game. Let's see, it's 369 even. They average giving up 306 and even. One important stat I think just while I'm looking at them that I think is actually point differential a game. They're ranked fourth. You know, and they're in company with Chicago, Baltimore, the LA Chargers. But they've so far they average about 8 more points per game than their opponents.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, this is what I was thinking about too. Is like I watch all these games, Andrew, and I don't know, because the rules are so different now in the NFL. Like 4 or 5 years ago, it used to be, well, you have to play defense at least this well to win. Now with all these fucking rules where you can't touch the receivers, you can't hit the quarterback, like I don't know where the line is of like defense is good enough and it goes to the line of not good enough. It used to be pretty clear cut. Now with all these fucking rules changes, I don't know. Can the Chiefs win giving up 6 yards a rush? 5 years ago, I'd have been like, there's no way. But now I'm like, Like, I don't know. Like, how good does your defense have to be to win a Super Bowl? And what do you have to do? Like, what's the line of demarcation, I guess?
Well, what did you say the Saints were right now, Dave? 19th in yards given up?
Average yards per game. Yeah, they're ranked 19th.
Okay. I mean, the fact that there's 12 teams giving up more yards per game than the Saints right now, based on what we've witnessed this far, I mean, that alone tells you
14 teams.
So based on that, I mean, it tells you all you need to know about just how bad the state of defense is. The Saints are kind of middle of the road with what they've done so far.
They have a team that's on pace to be the worst defense ever. I think it's Atlanta. I saw it on...
Wait, that's the Saints record, right?
It's the Saints record.
Falcons beat the Saints' worst defense in NFL history record.
It might have been. You know what? It wasn't. It was. I want to say it was Tampa.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. I can look it up because we can. It's got to be whoever is last in the rankings so far.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Let's see who has.
Would it kill the 49ers to throw one goddamn ball to their tight end?
So far, Kansas City's defense is giving up an average of 468
yards. Kansas City.
I know that. I'm telling you.
You were right. I was wrong. We saw the Saints with the
There you go. They almost won last night. But it hadn't have been for Mahomes' two picks.
Well, they had score 40 points to be in it. I mean, last night's game.
But they would have been 6-0.
I understand that. But last night's game looked like a Saints game from 2012 or 2000.
But here's the thing, man. Could the Saints in 2012 averaged like 31 or 32 points a game and still went 7-9. Can the Chiefs go 11-5, 12-4 with the worst defense in the history of football? Is that going to happen, Andrew?
I think so.
Oh my god, that is it's fucking insane. So I mean,
hold on. Oh yeah, they're well on pace. So the Saints.
Nobody's playing defense.
The Saints. The Saints in 2012 gave up an average of 440 yards per game on defense.
God.
Which was well above. They were the only team in the league that season to give up more.
That was the Spags year, right?
Yes. They were the only team that gave up an average of more than 400. All the other teams gave up less than 400. The Saints were the only team in the fours.
You know what's hilarious about that is that the 20 What was the horrible Browner year? 2015?
Yeah.
The 2015 defense had the record, I think, for opposing quarterback rating, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I think they broke the record for that. But they were well behind in yards only because penalty yards don't count against your yards yielded total. But if you added Brandon Browner's penalty yards into the formula, then they probably would have been worse than 24.
I mean, and the Chiefs are a serious Super Bowl contender. Not at any point were people like, you know, the Saints could win the Super Bowl in 2012 or 2015. But that's where we are. Like the NFL.
Well,
the
so this year, right now, currently there are six teams that are giving up more over that are averaging over 400 yards given up on defense. You can definitely say this year defenses are significantly worse overall than in 2012.
I mean, the thing is, man, the NFL, the ratings are through the roof again. They figured it out, man. People love the offenses scoring a shit ton of points. We just do. Like, they've turned the NFL into the Big 12. And, I mean, Andrew, at least the Saints, they can stop the run. And I'm fairly confident. Like, I won't be surprised if Baltimore wins. And we'll get to that game in a minute. But I'll be stunned if Baltimore runs the ball on them. Like, I feel like the Saints' front and their defensive line is deep and good. And they don't quite rush the passer as maybe as great as you would hope. But they're going to they're gonna shut down teams, most teams' run, and I'm confident that when the Saints go into a game and they decide a team's not going to run the ball, the team's not going to fucking run the ball. And I think that's going to be this week in Baltimore. And that sort of at least gives me hope. And now that Dave has read all these atrocious defensive statistics, I feel better. I feel better than I have all year about the Saints' defense with what Dave just told me. Am I high?
Well, I mean, I don't want to break it to you, but the best defense in the league this year, the best defense in the this year so far is Baltimore. They've only given up 270 yards a game on average, and they are the only team.
Andy Dalton kind of let them up though.
Yeah, dude. And they're the only team in the league currently. Now they're the only team this year currently that has given up less than 300.
No, the Ravens are scary. I mean, first of all, you can't. I mean, they've played the Browns, who are a calamity on offense, and they played Nathan Peterman to start the year. You know, Nathan Peterman and the Bills.
You know, Nathan Peterman is the worst fucking quarterback I have ever seen, and I watched every fucking start of all the Billy Joes and Werfel. He's worse than fucking
Werfel. What about Babe Laufenberg?
I mean, I didn't watch every start that he had, but I'm telling you, Werfel is four times the quarterback Peterman was in the NFL. Like, Peterman is fucking terrible.
He's bad. Real bad. Especially in this modern day NFL, like even CJ Beathard is making plays and throwing touchdowns.
Brock Osweiler threw for nearly 400 yards yesterday.
So yeah, Peterman's a joke. But you know, so there was one team that did really well against them. It was the Bengals, and Andy Dalton I think lit them up pretty good and scored 34 points on them. But otherwise, man, like they embarrassed Mariota. I think they sacked Mariota like 11 times.
He got sacked more than he completed passes.
That's crazy. I think they have 5 picks on the year, and so something's going to give there with Breeze having not thrown any.
So, here's the thing: we got a new segment here this week, and I'm going to get to it in a second, but it is sponsored. The Saints Happy Hour is sponsored by JLD Hot Sauce and Knives. Guys, they have the best hot sauce. They're award-winning hot sauce. Bucholica comes in hot, extra hot, and Thai flavors. Go to jldsharpsauce.com and use the code SAINTS. Get 10% off your order today. That's jldsharpsauce.com. Okay, this is the new segment because Drew Brees, for the first time in his career, is in serious MVP consideration. Would we all is that a fair thing to say, guys, after Monday night?
Hashtag Brees for MVP.
It's him, it's Patrick Mahomes, and it's Jared Goff, right? So
I thought I saw something on Facebook. I don't know if it came from the NFL or who it came from, but they had Khalil Mack on there.
Yeah. Well, Khalil Mack got shut down yesterday by the Dolphins. He had no sacks, no pressures, and he got hurt. So he may falter a little bit. But I've come up with a segment that we are going to do every week, and it's called You Ain't the Real MVP, Bro. And I'm going to play the Benny Hill music. And this week's edition of You Ain't the Real MVP, Bro is Jared Goff. Now, I know the Rams are 6-0, but Jared Goff is not the MVP. I'm going to tell you fucking why. 95% of Los Angeles thinks Jared Goff is Rob Kardashian after he spent 6 months on the keto diet. And if your own city doesn't even know who the fuck you are, you can't be MVP. But Andrew, most importantly, Jared Goff cannot be MVP because he lost a home playoff game to the Atlanta Falcons. And I feel like that should make you ineligible to be MVP for 5 years. So he should not be able to be MVP until 2023 because he lost at home to the fucking Falcons in a playoff game. So Jared Goff, my man, you ain't the real MVP.
Well done.
We're gonna do it every week. We're gonna just pick people. Maybe they play well, maybe they don't. We're just gonna make fun of them and we're gonna rant against them because
I saw Mahomes throw a couple picks last night.
He did. And Mahomes sounds like Kermit the Frog after he smoked a pack of cigarettes, which is really weird.
Could you have him be the MVP in the acceptance speech and that voice? I mean, come on.
No. So here we got some interesting questions tonight from people. So James asked a question about the Ravens game. We'll get to that in a second. After we beat the Ravens, Andrew, who's left on the teams Drew the Goat Brees hasn't beaten? I think that's it, right?
That's it. The Ravens are the only team that Sean Payton and Drew Brees haven't beaten together. That's it.
Sean Payton, yeah. I guess, Sean Payton hadn't beaten the Saints, but he couldn't because he's only coached the Saints.
Right.
This is a great question, Eric. How much money did Mike Gillisley and Jonathan Williams make your boyfriend, Mark Ingram?
Quite a bit.
Well, I mean, in what way? Like, what, Ingram's going to get a brand new contract or something?
I guess so.
They didn't really make him any money, but they sure as hell made the Saints realize how much they love Ingram.
So they made him money.
How are we feeling about Ingram?
Is that what you're saying?
No.
Guys,
yeah, he's in a contract year.
I think Ingram not playing was more
effective for his contract negotiations based on what those two idiots did than if he had played and gotten like 60 yards a game.
Yeah, no, Gillisley and Williams were driving the Brinks truck and backing it up.
Will this be a Willie Snead revenge game? He's going to complete a halfback pass to win, won't he?
Yeah, man, I'm still mad at Snead for overthrowing Kamara in the playoff games.
Perfect play call. It was perfect. Kamara could have walked in. Open.
Yeah, I think Snead is going to have a good game. I really do, because I don't know, man. I mean, the Ravens don't have terrifying receivers. They're just all three pretty solid. So I still think the Saints DBs could be all right if they just – play a little better. I mean, it's not like Crawley and PJ are incapable.
Yeah. Here's a good question from Dylan, Dave. Better duo, Graham and Sproles or Kamara and Thomas?
Ooh, I like that question.
That's a really good question.
You can both answer.
Right now, I think I still got to go with Graham and Sproles. If we're talking about 2011... I don't know. Kamara and Thomas need to continue putting up some of the numbers they've been putting up this season for another, 12 games or whatever, and then we'll talk.
Andrew, what do you think? Better duo?
Yeah, I'm with Dave. I think right now I'm sticking with. I reserve the right to change my mind at the end of the year. I want to see how the rest of this year goes, but. Right now, I'm saying Graham and Sproles, but...
I mean, Sproles set the record for total yardage that season.
Yeah.
I mean,
Graham had, what, 14 touchdowns? I mean, Michael Thomas just isn't getting in the end zone that much.
Yeah, I mean, there...
But it's a discussion. Like, it's in the conversation.
Right.
That already states that it's a good question. They're both really good.
The Saints right now are scoring more points average-wise than the 2011 team did for the whole year. Now, the 2011 team didn't really go supernova until like the last 5-6 weeks, and the Saints, this team has started out better than the 2011 team, so we'll see how that goes.
They went supernova when they beat the Colts 62-7 or whatever the hell that was.
Oh, yeah, the good old Curtis Painter.
This is a good question. It's not really a question. It's more of a comment from
most Jordan. Of these questions aren't actually really questions.
He says, "I wonder." She says, "I wonder if Jordy Nelson regrets not coming to play with Drew Brees." I mean, he signed with the Raiders, and the Saints were pushing hard for him, weren't they, Andrew?
They were. Yeah, I mean, I think Cam Meredith was kind of their next. Go-to guy after they failed to get Nelson. So
Jordy's been pretty good for Oakland too.
He has been, yeah. If the Saints had him, they wouldn't have Meredith. But I like Cam Meredith, but I have to admit, I'd probably prefer Nelson between the two.
Here's a good question for you, Dave, and then we'll get to the Ravens game. This is from Don of the Dead, Don Takano. He was on Drunk History, 2008.
Isn't it Takano?
Takano. I just say it because it riles him up. This is a good question for you, Dave. Will 2018 Sheldon Rankins be better than 2016 Nick Fairley?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know about that. I mean, I don't even think he's on pace right now to be that good. I would love
the listeners are giving us the heartbreaking curveball questions.
They are.
I mean, I would love for that to be the case. And I'll use this moment now to just remind everybody that the Saints should not have paid Nick Fairley in the offseason. I don't think he's going to have that good.
Dave, I don't think you've ever nailed I don't think you were ever more adamant about something that turned out to be completely true in your life.
I don't think he had the same conviction about the woman he married that he had about Nick Fairley not being a good sign for the Saints.
It was almost like you were with Doc Brown in his time machine and you fast forwarded into the future and saw Nick Fairley's heart charts in the ER.
Well, you couldn't tell anybody. Scream at the moon.
I didn't think he was a bad sign because of his heart issues. I didn't know about the heart issues. I just thought he was going to get lazy in the next season after he got paid.
Right is right, though.
Yeah, right, no, that's right, true.
Baby. Here, all right. So now we got to get to the game. But before we get to the Saints Baltimore game, when you gamble, use mybookie.com. They have dollar for dollar cash bonus. You bet, you win. They pay. MyBookie.com. You get an extra $25 if you sign up after 7 o'clock at night because their servers are overloaded. Use the code HAPPY25. You get that. Go to MyBookie.com. They're fantastic. All right.
My bet of the week is Dave isn't going to like this, but I think
give it to him.
I think 7 points is way too much for Tulane. So I'm taking SMU and the 7 points.
I was really surprised that SMU must be really bad. For Tulane to be favored by 7.
The bookies do this every year. Tulane is very easy to bet on because early in the season they overrate them, and the lines are too close, and so you pick the other team, and that always wins. And then after a few weeks, Vegas is convinced that Tulane is awful. And so then it starts to skew heavily the other way. And so I bet on Tulane against Memphis and nailed that because the line, I mean, it was like Memphis was by 17.5. And I knew they weren't going to cover that. And so now they're kind of back to being like, oh, they beat Memphis. So Tulane's awesome again. Maybe they were as good as we thought. And now it's swinging back the other way. So that's my pick of the week, SMU over Tulane.
All right. Well, I was surprised by the Tulane line, but I'm just as surprised at the Saints Baltimore line. Baltimore is a 2.5 point favorite for the 3 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, or is it 3:20 the kickoff?
No, I think it's 3:05.
3:05. So Baltimore is a 2.5 point favorite. Dave, who do you got?
Well, I would definitely take the Saints if we were gambling. I would take the Saints with the points. But what I do think that the line shows is that Baltimore is a good team. This is not going to be a cakewalk for the Saints by any means, especially since it's not home. And I don't know what it is about Baltimore, but the Saints have just never been able to conquer them. Baltimore obviously...
Was the last time they beat Baltimore, Andrew, was when Jake Delhomme started instead of Brooks in like 2002?
Whoa. Oh, man, is that true?
It has to be before 2006.
Well, they only play every 4 years, right?
Right. So,
but Jake Delhomme didn't start that game, right? He just came in.
Yeah, I think he came in because Aaron.
Because I don't think Jake Delhomme ever started a game for the Saints. Maybe with Ditka.
But you're right. But Jake Delhomme finished it. So that's the last win.
It would have to be 2002 because they played the Ravens in 2006, I think, because they played the AFC East.
All right, hold on. I'm looking at this head-to-head. Hold on.
That's a long time.
Let's get some factual statements here on this podcast, please. So surprisingly, the Saints and Ravens the Saints are – Saints have only beaten the Ravens once ever. Now, keep in mind that this doesn't carry over from the Colts because the Colts got the history back. But, 2002, the Saints are 1-5 against the Ravens. Their only win was in 2002.
That's wild. Well, that just means they're due. obviously Baltimore's got arguably, the best defense in the league, one of the top three defenses in the league. So this is a good matchup for the Saints. I mean, you've got one of the best offenses versus one of the best defenses. And on offense, they're not too shabby too. They're like a top 10 offense. They are ranked 9th overall as far as average yards per game. What's really weird though is that they're ranked 28th overall in yards per play. That doesn't make any sense. How could there be such a big discrepancy? I think the Saints are going to, I think this is the Saints' year, man. And this is Drew's year. Drew's having a hell of a year. I will say that I think this is probably where Drew Brees' interception streak comes to an end. I think he probably throws an interception this weekend. His first interception of the season. But I am going to say, Saints win 27-24. Ooh. And Lutz is going to be your MVP with a late game field goal to win.
Which would kind of be a stick because John Harbaugh recommended Lutz to Sean Payton. And then Lutz comes back and fucks him. Andrew, who you got?
I'd rather Lutz fuck the Ravens than Snead fuck the Saints.
That is true.
The last time the Saints beat the Ravens was 2002. Aaron Brooks was the starter that day and was 9-25 for 123 yards. And somehow the Saints still won. You want to know why? Because our dear friend Deuce McAllister had 127 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. Yep, Deuce went hero ball to help us beat the Ravens the only time we ever did. Look, this isn't lost on Sean Payton and Drew Brees. They know this is the only team they haven't beaten. They're big history guys, Brees especially, and this game means a lot to them.
They are probably not going to get another shot because Drew Brees might play a couple more years. I don't think he's going to be playing in 2022.
Yep. So I'm going to disagree with Dave. Brees will not throw a pick. I think he's going to continue his recent form. He's going to be lights out. Kamara was a little quiet a couple weeks ago. He kind of took a backseat to Ingram a little bit. And, the Redskins, they just try to slow him down. And so it opened up opportunities for other players. But I think this is going to be back to leaning on Kamara, and he's going to have a huge game. I think the Saints are going to play pretty well. I mean, it's going to be tough sledding defensively a little bit. I think the Ravens maybe hit John Brown on a deep ball. So it'll be a little tight early, but I think the Saints pull away. I'm going to say the Saints are going to put up 31 points on this defense.
That's a lot of points on Baltimore.
It'll be a nice performance. I'll say 31-20, Saints win.
I'm going to say Saints are going to win pretty comfortably. I'm going to say Saints 24-13. It's going to be like a slobber knocker, kind of ugly game where they just – not turnovers necessarily, but Baltimore's defense is really good, and it'll have a lot of moments against the Saints, but it'll just kind of slog back and forth. I'm going to give you a name for MVP. I think it's time for the random – Ben Watson, 6-catch, 75-yard, 2-touchdown game. It's time for he has 2 of those a year, and it's about that time for that game. So I'm going to say Ben Watson is your MVP, Saints 24-13, and they'll be 5-1, and Carolina plays Atlanta, So there's a good – I mean, Carolina plays Philadelphia. So there's a good chance that the Saints, if they can win and get to 5-1, they'll be two games clear of everyone in the fucking South after Sunday. So it could be a big moment because I know you think it's early, but if you're – two games up with 10 games to go, you're in really great shape. So I think the Saints are going to win. Ben Watson's going to be your MVP, and that's how it's going to go.
By the way, one of the few quarterback records that Drew Brees doesn't have is fewest interceptions in a season.
How many is that?
That's two. All going to change.
Two by Tom Brady in 2016.
Jesus, how the fuck did he two? Jesus.
Two.
So, that's crazy. So, remember to become a patron and you get extra episodes. Do it now. So, for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.